Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Resiliency Radio with Rick Allen and Lauren Monroe. Interactive radio to empower, educate, and inspire during difficult times. Featuring live interviews with celebrity guests and cutting-edge professionals working in the fields of health, wholeness, and resiliency. This program is brought to you by the Raven Drum Foundation's Veteran Resiliency Project and is dedicated to all our military and their families. For more information, visit us on the web at www.ravendrumfoundation.org. Welcome to Resiliency Radio, everyone. My name is Lauren Monroe, and I'm here with my fabulous co-host, Rick Allen.
Fly me to the moon.
It's a good day today.
Yeah, it's great topics. Very excited to share this with you.
Yeah, today we're talking about food and emotions, and we have a very special guest, acupuncturist, teacher, herbalist, Tatiana Rubio with us, and she'll be sharing her concepts and her experience with using food to really help remedy certain emotions and feelings and mental attitudes too, because we all suffer from an array of different things constantly throughout this human life, and this interview is so informative that I'm going to just ask everybody to bring a pencil while you listen, because you're going to want to take down some really good pointers about foods to eat to help with depression, with anger, and chronic pain too. So we really learned a lot by talking with her.
Yeah, and you know, craggy people like me, and miserable.
No, if I can get that. Miserable too, it'll help.
I can get that way sometimes, but yes, Shazandra berries and the like. Yes, so.
Well, we first met Tatiana when after we had our first baby, and she helped quite a bit with me personally recover from that, and just the whole modality of acupuncture is pretty fascinating. If those of you listening don't know that much about it, it's such an ancient practice, where herbs and foods are used in conjunction with the acupuncture treatments with the needle.
Yes.
But you can really look at the whole philosophy behind Chinese medicine and break it down into the seasons, the elements, water, fire, air, wood, and see how it relates to our human experience. And their philosophies are so brilliant. Tatiana will be talking a little bit about that, but mostly about foods and emotions and how we really can rely on things we know already to help heal us when we're feeling specific states of emotion, which I think is pretty incredible.
Yeah, so really taking the idea of food as being medicine to a whole another level.
Yeah, definitely. Well, stay tuned. We'll be right back with Tatiana Rubio. And welcome to Resiliency Radio, everyone. We have our fabulous guest with us today, Tatiana Rubio, and we'll be talking about food and emotions from a Chinese medicine perspective. So we'll be talking about what type of foods can really help us when we're feeling emotional, if we're feeling drained or tired or under stress, and we're really happy to have you here with us, Tatiana. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Fantastic. To get started, could you tell us about yourself and the work that you do?
Absolutely. I'm a licensed acupuncturist and herbalist. I've been practicing Chinese medicine in California for about 12 years now. And I came to Chinese medicine, actually I was originally going to go into medical school, And after a serious horseback riding accident, I was left searching out some different modalities of healing. I ended up using a combination of physical therapy, acupuncture, and yoga to heal a head injury and a broken collarbone at a pretty young age. I was about 13. And I think because of my exposure to those modalities at such a young age, it did leave an imprint on how effective they could be in treating long-term chronic pain like that. So when I was in college and looking at the next step, I ended up deciding against the medical route and going towards the holistic side, and have enjoyed every minute of it since. I work a lot with people with chronic pain. I also work pretty intensely with people's diet to create food plans and use food and blood labs to analyze if there's something that they're eating that's causing inflammation or long-term chronic illness. And I also work with pregnant women. That's another fun area. I've been working in and out of the delivery room for the last 10 years.
Fantastic. Thanks for that.
Can you tell us more about the area of Chinese medicine and how that whole philosophy is used in regards to food and overall well-being? How does food play a part in the Chinese medical philosophy?
Absolutely. The ancient Chinese believed that the seasons have a profound effect on human growth and well-being. They really believed that we're influenced by climatic changes and that we should really live in harmony with them. I should speak a little bit about the idea that the seasons have different moods and different emotions associated with each season. As well, they have different organ systems that are associated with each season. So, for instance, we're in the summertime right now. This season is associated with the emotion of joy. It's usually a time when we're out enjoying the company of our friends and family and having barbecues and swimming and enjoying the array of beautiful colored fruits and vegetables that are available now. And the emotion associated with the joy element of heart, or the emotion associated with is joy, and the element associated with it is fire. And the fire you can understand as being a part of the hot summer, but it also has to do with the heart organ and the heart organ system, both the mental and emotional aspect as well as the physical aspect of the heart. So we're really almost talking about the spirit here. And what does that mean in lay terms? Basically, we're looking at the summertime being a time when we should be experiencing joy, when there should be people getting together. It's not the fall. It's not the time when leaves are falling and everything is dying and we're starting to feel a little bit melancholy and depressed. It's a time when we really should be engaging in the world. We should be of service. We should be getting out there. And we should really be looking towards the foods that are readily available and that are grown in season to really balance us right now. So, for instance, the degree that we're out in the sun and sweating and losing a lot of minerals and nutrients through sweat and oil glands, we are going to naturally replace them by eating, if you will, eating the rainbow, as my mom likes to say.
Yeah.
The variety of minerals available in all of the different colors of fruits and vegetables right now will really help replace all of the magnesium, potassium, phosphorus, et cetera, that are lost during the hot summer when we're sweating and we're losing all those nutrients. So that's one very basic way to think about eating with the seasons. But if we're to look at the element of joy and the element of the heart and summer all together, in our culture right now, I think we really have almost too much emphasis on being up and being happy and drinking that extra cup of caffeine so that we can power through our day. Even when people ask us how we're doing, oftentimes we know they really want us to say, hey, we're great, even if
right, we're
inside
not.
We're not doing so well. So there's this emphasis in our culture to maintain this state of stimulation. And that can really lead to imbalance. It can lead to imbalance emotionally. It can lead to imbalance physically. The amount of stimulants that we have in our daily diet between caffeine and chocolate and overeating in general.
Sugar.
Sugar, absolutely, can really cause imbalance. So as much as joy is a positive emotion and it's one to be revered, we're really looking for the kind of contentment, the long-term sustainable type of contentment as a balanced emotion for the summer. As far as what happens when we do feel imbalanced and we do have anxiety, that is very commonly seen in the summertime. Oftentimes we'll see it accompanied with heart palpitations, a sense of your heart racing like you've had too much coffee. It comes with insomnia. Another symptom of the heart being out of balance is dream disturbed sleep or really vivid technicolor type dreams,
mm-hmm.
Or nightmares even. Those are all signs that the heart energy is out of balance. And we can talk about specific foods and even a couple of recipes to balance that if we have a chance.
Yeah, that would be great. And you're talking about the actual physical organ of the heart as well as the emotional components of heart and mental components of heart as well. So it could be any level of heart disturbance, right?
Exactly. Actually, Dean Ornish, an MD at University of California at San Francisco, developed from his experience a similar awareness that the mind is where heart disease begins for many people. So even though we're talking about the heart organ, we're really talking about the heart-mind complex.
Mm-hmm.
It's associated with what most of us feel is our spirit, where our mental energy rests. So when the heart energy is out of balance, you're going to see in severe situations, that's the type of situation where you will see a homeless person ranting or raving in the street, that type of severe heart out of balance or shen or spirit out of balance. Other symptoms would be our memory, feeling a little bit fuzzy, lack of concentration, inability to concentrate, or hyperactivity in general. And this is where ADHD would be a key symptom. ADHD is exactly a heart energy out of balance.
Wow, that's really interesting. That's the first time I've ever heard that put in that way with those examples. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's been one of my greatest joys in learning about Chinese medicine in terms of the real practical ways that we can view our daily life in terms of the elements, in terms of the foods that we eat, and in terms of the emotions that we see in a very general sense that can all be fit into these models. In order to treat something as serious as schizophrenia in a homeless person, the Chinese would not have necessarily, of course, they would not have had access to pharmaceuticals, but they would not have had to diagnose them, per se, as schizophrenic. They would have known which herbs and which foods to use to balance that person. They would have used cooling foods. They would have used calming and heart-nourishing foods. And if we get a chance, I'd love to mention a couple of those.
That would be great. Yeah, I think we should talk about that, definitely.
Okay, great. So as far as the general rules for the summertime, the most important thing to keep in mind is to eat light, eat the rainbow, and as I say, eat green. Green foods have magnesium at the center of each aspect of the chlorophyll. And why magnesium? What's the importance of magnesium? Magnesium has a specific effect to inhibit anxiety. It's actually by restraining the anxiety peptide, which is a complex of amino acids in the brain, which appear to contribute to anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So when we eat foods rich in magnesium, we're actually calming ourselves down. So if you think of green and you think of peace and harmony, anytime you're eating more green leafy vegetables, you're going to be calming yourself down. So if you're going to go to that barbecue, instead of eating twice the amount of barbecue and less collards, I would say, have more collard greens, have more spinach, more salads, more coleslaw. Maybe take the rest of the barbecue home for dinner later that night, or even for lunch the next day.
Right.
As far as I'll just give you a list of a couple of the great foods for anxiety. We can look at apricots, which are always in season in the summer, asparagus, avocados, bananas, broccoli, figs. Again, any of the green leafy vegetables, collard, spinach, kale, chard. And then we're going to look at really staying away from the refined flours and moving towards whole grains, brown rice, and even yogurt, all of which will replace the minerals like calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, and potassium, which are lost during sweating during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
As far as foods that actually calm the mind, so
yeah.
those foods that I listed before were great for anxiety, but for calming the mind, for real severe anxiety, difficulty sleeping, insomnia that's lasted for quite a long time. Again, the whole grains, the brown rice, but this is where we want to bring in some of the mushrooms. Almost every kind of mushroom is said to calm the heart and relax the nervous system. As well, we're looking at cucumber and celery, lemons, all of which improve calcium metabolism and strengthen the heart. And here's where you also want to think about, I know not everyone has a juicer, but it's a great time to think about juicing with kale, spinach, celery, cucumber, maybe even throw in a little bit of pineapple to keep it sweet.
Yeah.
Great way to, yes, actually, I'm drinking it right now. It's a great way
pineapple.
To beat the heat. The pineapple kale is just bitter and
yeah.
not very tasty, so I found the pineapple is a great way to balance it. You can even juice the inside of a lemon, a couple lemons, take the rind off, and if you want to kick it up a notch, throw a little bit of jalapeno in there, and it will actually cause a little bit of sweating and, believe it or not, cool you off. Rather
wow,
than
yeah.
You
well, I guess Rick's going to be having that today.
No, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I do a lot of juicing when I'm with the band, when I'm on the road. But I'm one of those people, I don't care what it tastes like. I just do all the ingredients that you just mentioned, you know, the kale, the spinach, the celery, cucumber, and I just add a little bit of the lemon juice and,
mm-hmm.
and carrot, and that's basically what I do. But, you know, it's more, for me, it's more just, I use food like medicine, you know, so.
It is, it really is. Yeah, that's a great one. I love adding a little bit of tomato in there. I do the carrot and the tomato and even a little bit of celery root spice on the outside later in the season if I want to juice in the fall. I do like to keep it mainly greens with a little bit of the pineapple in the spring and summer because it does tend to clear a little bit of the heat, and carrots do have quite a bit of sugar. So if
yeah.
you're looking for that calming effect, you'll want to stay away from the apples, beets, and carrots, which do have quite a bit of sugar in there.
Right.
So you're right, you can definitely treat different things with different ingredients.
Nice. That's great.
So what about...
As far as...
No, continue.
I was going to just mention one other aspect. The heart, of course, has the aspect of joy and anxiety, but there is a flip side, and that is the experience of depression, which is much more common today than it ever has been before at any point in history that's been recorded. And I just wanted to mention a few foods that are really helpful for just mild depression that everyone experiences once in a while, and then just give an example of a fun recipe that everyone can do for lunch on a hot summer day. So for depression, one of the nicest things, again, is the brown rice. It's nourishing. It's a little bit sweet, but it's a little bit sour. The combination of the two really balance that heart energy, kind of boosting it up, but not causing any more heat. Here's where you want to add a little bit of cucumber and apples. The apples do have a little bit of sugar, but you want a little bit of that kick, a little bit of that upward boost with the natural fructose in the apples.
Mm-hmm.
Cabbage. Fresh wheat germ, and wild blue-green microalgae are also great to add. And then something that you can buy at the grocery store is apple cider vinegar. One teaspoon in water 3 times a day. It's a great thing to do for mild depression.
Really?
It cleanses the body. Yeah, calms the mind. And it's just a nice, easy thing that you can add to your daily diet.
So 1 teaspoon of apple cider vinegar in a glass 3 times a day? A glass of water?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. And then if you've got severe anxiety on the other side of the spectrum and you have access to either a whole food store, a natural, local, fresh food store, or even online, to get a hold of some fresh Schizandra berries, the Chinese call them wu wei zi. Schizandra berries calm the spirit and are particularly good for insomnia. And
Schizandra.
So are jujube, Schizandra. You may have actually seen Schizandra in a local health food store in capsule form. So you can find it in capsules. You can find it, the actual dried berry that you can just eat during the day. And the same with jujube seeds. And chia seeds, actually. Chia seeds also have an incredibly calming sedative effect.
Really?
So all three of those are great for insomnia, anxiety, and calming.
Jujube, did you say?
Mm-hmm. Jujube seeds. Yep. Jujube seeds are called suanzao ren in Chinese medicine, and there's a whole formula made with them specifically for insomnia.
That's wonderful.
So you can
And you can find them.
I was going to say, you can go and find, you can find them online, or you can find a Chinese medicine doctor locally who can prescribe a formula with those in them.
Mm. That's wonderful. I think a lot of people benefit from those. And even finding the like you said, the Schizandra berries in Whole Foods or, to try them out.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And one other thing, if you have any listeners out there who have a combination of muscle spasm and pain in association with anxiety and insomnia, single best thing is magnesium powder. I know I've mentioned magnesium in all of the green leafy vegetables, but if you've really got severe muscle spasms and pain, you could eat an entire bowl full of green leafy vegetables and it's not going to make a dent. If you've got severe anxiety, severe insomnia, and like I said, muscle pain, you might want to try a powdered magnesium supplement, like a Natural Calm that's sold online. There's a brand called Natural Vitality. It's one of the things I recommend for most of my patients with chronic pain in association with like I said, the insomnia and anxiety.
Let me just ask you a quick question. Sometimes I suffer from muscle cramps. And what comes with that is anxiety because, I have to go and play. I have to go and play drums on stage. Would the magnesium help calm that?
Absolutely. A lot of time what happens is we work out or you're playing on stage, you're sweating, you're exerting a lot of energy, and through your sweat you're losing electrolytes. And oftentimes when we go to replace them, we just drink water. There are sports drinks out there, but many of them are filled with food colorings and additives that we don't need. So they might be replacing some of the electrolytes, but you're getting a lot of bad things that you don't necessarily want at the same time. If you were to do something like magnesium, that would be the perfect situation for something like you're describing, where you've got a combination of anxiety with muscle spasm. That's absolutely what magnesium is indicated for. So yeah,
fantastic.
Definitely.
And one of the things that I've used more recently is Himalayan sea salt, and that tends to calm things down quite a bit as well.
Yes, that has the wonderful effect of attracting more water, keeping more yin aspect. You hear about the Chinese talk about yin and yang, which is, you think of yin and yang, but it's actually yin and yang. That yin aspect, that calming, nurturing, cooling aspect is associated with the water. So the water that is retained when we have a little bit more salt is going to make you feel more calm, it's going to cool the heart down, and it's going to reduce anxiety. So, yeah, that's another great choice.
Cool. Cool. That's nice to know. It's fantastic. All the things that you're talking about have affected myself and Lauren personally over the years. So it's wonderful information for us also.
Great. Well, so nice to talk with you both.
Well, I do have a couple more questions for you, because we talked about we've talked about joy, we talked about depression and pain, but I want to address the emotions of anger and fear too, because often that does come with a lot of stress ailments, especially post-traumatic stress and feelings of when people have gone through crisis. There's a lot of anger and fear that come with experiencing those things. And so let's talk about that and how food can address those emotions too.
Absolutely. Great questions. The springtime is associated with the liver organ, and the liver organ has a lot to do with anger and resentment. But on the positive side, it has to do with feeling assertive and taking initiative. If you think about it, people who tend to have alcoholism in their family, most of the time they have family members that have had anger that they don't know how to deal with, that frustration, resentment, and that has everything to do with what we call congestion or stagnation in the liver organ. But when you think about it, what is somebody doing when they're drinking alcohol? The alcohol is being processed through the liver. And in essence, in a short-term perspective, it is balancing the liver in the sense that that blocked energy, that frustration is temporarily soothed. But long-term, you're doing a lot of damage to the organ itself. There are some great ways to look at what we call liver qi stagnation, which you and I would know as anger and resentment. The first and most important thing that's often overlooked is exercise. When people have any type of frustration or resentment, you've got to vent that liver energy. Now, if you can't get up and walk or run, the best second runner-up for that is deep breathing, any kind of yoga or movement meditation, but it has to involve moving and breathing. Mm-hmm. As a woman and as a mother of two kids, when I couldn't always get outside and move and breathe, but God knows there were days when I was extremely and still am extremely frustrated, I try and use every movement as a meditation. Every breath I take, syncing it with the steps that I take, whether it's unloading the dishwasher or making the bed or folding the laundry. It's got to be deep, long breaths in and deep, long breaths out. Most of the time when we're angry.
So kind of like mindfulness then?
It is. It's absolutely mindfulness, but to another degree. You need to move that energy. The liver and the anger is stuck. It's blocked, and you got to push through that. If you think about the springtime, when the liver energy is at its peak, it's the energy of the bursting forth of the seed through that thick soil and how much energy it takes that little tiny sprout to get through the surface. That same type of energy is what we all are experiencing, but if we can't, for whatever reason, if we can't get up and walk anymore, or if we, for whatever reason, are thwarted in our desires to do anything, that frustration and resentment can get turned inward. And there are things in addition to the movement therapies. As far as we're talking about foods, again, this is where you really want to think about the green leafy vegetables, the cooling vegetables that are going to cool and calm down the liver energy. You're going to really want to stay away from anything spicy or hot, and you're going to really want to stay away from big meals and overeating. You're already looking at a blocked, stagnant, stuck type of energy in the body. And the more you overload it with food, which is so common and understandably so, we use food so often to calm ourselves down and use it as a treat for ourselves when other things seem pretty bleak. But when we eat too much, it again causes such a stagnation of that energy that that frustration often becomes worse. Mm-hmm. We feel sluggish, and then we feel depressed on top of feeling angry and resentful.
So the overeating factor is kind of a Band-Aid. It's just a temporary relief then.
Exactly. I just heard a quote recently that said that, I'll probably mess it up, but eating is the most under-recognized treatment for anxiety, and exercise is the most underused remedy for anxiety.
Right.
Now, we can substitute frustration in there for anxiety, but it's the same idea.
Hmm.
It really is. This has been so helpful. I really think that our listeners are going to be able to benefit so much from all of these ideas and concepts and really apply some of these methods to their lives. I mean, something so simple as, you know, just using apple cider vinegar in water 3 times a day or in choosing a rainbow color of foods is going to be very helpful. And we have spoken before on different episodes and various things with Raven Drum talking about mindfulness and mindfulness with intention. And it makes a lot of sense that when you have a specific emotion, you can really use your intent to move it through the breath and mindfully do the things you have to do throughout the day. If you can't get out and run, I mean, that's just great advice.
Absolutely. And there's one very quick last thing that I could leave you with is something that I learned in acupuncture school in the concept of being mindful while we're eating is that before we take a bite of any food that we're about to eat, either write down or at least just mentally take a moment and think, what emotion am I feeling right now? Just that action of stopping, thinking how you're feeling and recognizing it will be pretty enlightening for many people. I know it was for myself. Going to reach for food and realizing, gee, I'm not even hungry, I'm anxious, I'm terrified, I don't know how I'm going to pay my rent next month, I am angry at my sister, my mother, my brother, and really allowing myself to acknowledge those emotions really changed not only how much I ate, but my association with food in general. I found once I allowed my body and my mind to kind of be on the same page and realize what was going on, I may even just completely disregard that entire meal and cook something completely differently. Because oftentimes we crave fatty foods, sugary foods, rich foods when we're really trying to treat an emotion rather than nourish our body.
That's right, Ben and Jerry's.
Nothing wrong with Ben and Jerry's once in a while.
Well, this is great.
Everything has a place.
I know. But, I mean, it's so depicted, you know, like even on TV when someone's upset, you know, they're sitting there with ice cream and a spoon, especially women.
Exactly.
But what are they
eating? They're eating the dairy products, which comes from the mother cow. When we're nurturing ourselves, it's that yin energy. So we're needing a little extra love.
That's right. Well, this has been wonderful. I thank you so much. We both thank you for being here and sharing your wisdom with everyone.
My pleasure. It's been a real pleasure.
No, it's fantastic. We're going to go home and apply some of these things. So we're very grateful, and it's wonderful to talk to somebody like yourself. Thank you.
Thank you. Enjoy your summer.
And we'll be right back with the Resiliency Radio. Welcome back, everyone.
Yes, welcome back.
That was a great interview.
Yeah, fantastic.
I really learned a lot. Just, you know, things I wouldn't think of that can just help. When you feel like you don't have any kind of resources, you can just look in your refrigerator. You might have something, you know.
Yeah, instead of reaching for the wrong kinds of food or maybe even a medication or whatever. It's wonderful to know that there are certain foods that can balance you.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's not just a one-shot deal, but, you know, I think if we can be consistent and make choices like that when we're feeling angry or if we're feeling depressed, I love what you said about sitting at the table, too, and before you eat, just being mindful, because so many of us, you know, we just jump from one thing to the next. And if you're, you know, a parent and you have small children, too, it's, you know, it's a miracle that you can even, you know, chew sitting down without, you know, getting up to get something or picking up something off the floor. And
no, I know.
It's really difficult. So just having that time before you, when you sit down, before you eat, just how do I feel right now?
Right.
That's a big piece of it, I think, you know, just being mindful of how you feel.
No, I know. Well, you know, sometimes it's nice to leave the TV on for, you know, if you have little ones or whatever, but we do try as much as possible to turn all sort of external stimuli off.
Off when you're eating, yeah.
Yeah.
It makes a big difference, it really does.
Yeah, it does.
And just focusing on what you're doing, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, one of the big things around the summer and the season of the summer and the heat and everything that it can conjure up, joy as well as anxiety and stress, it kind of magnifies in the summertime. I think we should really drum today about calming and about being calm and reducing anxiety. So let's choose some rhythms around that.
Okay.
And those of you who are at home, just create a nice space for yourself, and if you don't have a drum, that's okay. You can just sit and listen, and just close your eyes with intention and breathe. And all of us together, all the listeners and ourselves, we can be in a place of reflection and also with intention to calm not only ourselves, but people in our family, people that we know who might be wounded, who might be full of anxiety and stress. The whole philosophy around community really is when one person is experiencing calmness, we do affect other people, even when we're not physically with them. And science is showing us that now, too, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So let's all set the intent now together to calm one another and have this drum experience be that of nurturing and calmness.
Fantastic. Well, I'm going to move over to the instrument.
Yes, darling. So let's just start by taking a deep breath. And really experience your body. Some of us, it's easy just to numb out when we're in our head so much. So just sit in a chair or you can lie down on the floor right now and just breathe. Inhaling through the nose and exhaling through the mouth throughout this drum experience. And at any moment when you feel a thought come in that might distract you from the moment, breathe it out and watch it. And watch it float away or disappear and come back into the breath again. Come back into your body, what your body's experiencing. And remember your intention, just calm. Even saying that word in your mind, seeing the word in your mind's eye, will send a cue to your nervous system. If you do that along with a breath, it's an even more powerful cue. And if you visualize the music and embrace the music, it becomes a more powerful tool for calming as well. So take a deep breath and just be present. Breathe. breathe. Breathe and be in silence. And take this moment to be in a place of gratitude. Oh, that was great. Thank you, everyone. Come on back, Richard.
Yeah, I'm coming.
Just a short time of drumming can really just change and make an adjustment to anxiety in the body. If you're playing or if you're just experiencing it, listening, it really can change how you're physically sitting, how you're standing, how you're lying down. The tension can really dissipate so easily. So thank you all. I'm very relaxed now. I'm feeling too relaxed now.
I know. We need a couple of hammocks here in the in the studio.
So I just want to thank everybody for joining us on this episode of Resiliency Radio. And please use this episode many times as you need to. It'll be archived on Blog Talk Radio, so listen to it when you need. And please let us know your thoughts. We look forward to seeing you again.
Hey, thank you, everybody.